radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they complicate. And we sit back till
it's
too late. The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Very well. Yes, we are back, and we ask you to try to keep your comments now to this subject, and we'll be talking a little bit later on about the Middle East and so forth, but let's try to be definitive in what you feel about this latest episode of a so-called mass shooting in America, and that's fine. I mean, that's enough. You don't have to go off in all kinds of directions, but we just ask you to do that, all right, because, I mean, there's a little communication problem with me and some of the callers here. So anyway, all right, let's go back to Reese. I believe Reese from New York is still on the line. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I'm still here, Rick. I'll finish
okay,
up.
What else
I
did you, all right, you make a good point time. About that, Reese. What is the next point you wanted to make for us? Go ahead.
Well, the next point was the timing. Yes. Because remember, Jim Fetzer, of course, remembers the Pulse nightclub shooting, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
That was done with the timing, just as the convenient timing when one of Hillary Clinton's bombshell scandals hit the news wires. I believe this was the Loretta Lynch tarmac, or it was the Russian sales of the uranium. I forget which one it was to cover it. It just hit the headlines, and all of a sudden we had the Pulse nightclub incident take place. So, you know, you have to look at the timing, and now we have Israel massacring 60 unarmed Palestinians, and I believe the number of seriously injured now is over 2,400.
It is.
Just on the day alone of their 70th anniversary. So you got to wonder, because there was growing international outrage, if this event was done so sloppily, you know, where it doesn't even make sense to anyone looking at it, taking a cursory look at it, just to hit the news wires with something to cover up this growing outrage over the massacre. I wonder what Jim would think about that point.
Okay,
Reese,
thank you.
I think you're spot on. The situation with Pulse is fascinating. The permit for the club had expired 3 years in advance. It only had a legal occupancy of 150. It only had 11 parking spaces. If it had been packed with over 300, as the official account claims, would have been abandoned cars all over the place. They weren't there. A colleague from the area wrote to tell me it wasn't even a gay club. The Orlando Emergency Medical Center, and thus it's not going to bill for any services rendered. The reason being, they didn't render any services. You had the clumsiest, clownish crisis actors carrying bodies back and forth. Your point about the politics of these events is impeccable. Absolutely spot on. I agree 100%. Very nice.
And that's it. I'll end with this final comment. Here's my final comment. Where are the hundreds of student-uploaded cell phone videos that would occur with any event? Even if there was a fist fight in the schoolyard, you would have dozens uploaded to Twitter and to Facebook and everything else. Where are these student-uploaded videos? There are none. I've searched all over. I found not one. That's my final point.
You're 100% correct. The same is true at Parkland. They're supposed to have 3,500 students. Well, I say, where are all the student cell phones? Where are all the videos? They are non-existent. And the one we have from LiveLeaks, which runs 52 seconds long, you actually can see students are attempting to cry, but they're also worried about their bottled water. You got a girl on her iPod. You got a kid who's pulling his pots. You see this, what seems to be a body on the ground here. You look closer, it's a training dummy. Has no arms, no legs. It's in a pool of fake blood. You see people and look like policemen running in and out, but they're actors in police uniforms because Parkland gave up their police force in 2004. I mean, it's just outrageous. Where are the students? They sent the students home at 1 p.m. It was Valentine's Day. They let them out early. You're making great points, Reese. Great points.
Thank you, Reese. And
well,
also, you might add, you know, to the mix here is that the The fact is, in the Boston Marathon bombing drill, of course, they had all the cell phones shut down. Fortunately, there were people there with photographic and video cameras that were able to capture the scenes of fakery, the pouring of the fake blood. You saw Arundantes there. You saw the makeup lady, the shredder lady. You saw a bunch of actors and actresses performing. And, of course, all of that video was submitted to various media outlets, and they just totally ditched it. They didn't want to see it. They couldn't deal with it, because this is a hand-me-down process from the media at the very top of the apex of this intel operation. And that's what you have in these school shooters, too, these so-called shooters.
And they were using crisis actors in Boston who were amputees, Rick. They were using amputee crisis actors.
I am aware, yes. Yes, indeed. Heather Abbott, now there's a, before we go on to the next call, Heather Abbott was rumored to have been involved in an automobile accident several years before Boston, and she lost her ankle or her foot. And now, I don't know, I cannot verify that, but she worked for Raytheon. She was in the government contracting business. And if that could be shown positively, absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt, that certainly would blow the lid off much of her so-called credibility.
Oh, the whole thing is ridiculous. The police were on bullhorns calling out, "This is a drill!
Yeah,
this is a drill!" The Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities. And then another tweet, one will be set off in 1 minute in front of the library. And a minute later, in front of the Boston Public Library, one of these explosives goes off. Rick, I was an artillery officer in the Marine Corps.
Those were pop pieces.
Those were theatrical. Those were theatrical. They weren't powerful enough to kill anybody unless perhaps you were sitting right on top of it.
Firework, yeah. All right, let's go to our next call. Now we have, I believe, Dr. Kelly from Northern California. Hello, come on up, Doc.
Hey, good afternoon. I want to cover the waterfront, and I'll make it quick. The first point,
sure.
Since you were on the Boston bombing, it was my observation of the photographs that the word lens crafters had been damaged, and it said craft. And then I noticed the craft uniforms, and the glass in the lens crafters was blown out toward the sidewalk. And now let's venture over to the safe schools. I'm hoping
Before you finish that, Jim wants to say something, and I was going to mention lens crafters, too. Okay, but go ahead, Jim, you respond.
Well, it was the private army, Craft International, that actually planted the explosives there. They were there in their khaki trousers and black jackets, black baseball caps with a skull insignia, where the motto of Craft is violence does solve problems. We see two of these guys heading toward one of the locations. One's carrying a black backpack with a white square on it. The bomb that goes off is in a black backpack with a white square. He's rushing away, no longer wearing the black backpack with a white square. They botched it when they photoshopped the brothers into the scene, because neither of them is wearing a black backpack of the kind that exploded. The FBI confirmed both bombs were black nylon backpacks. Neither of the brothers is wearing one.
Yeah, and they were walking around with radiation, microwave radiation, radio frequency detectors, too. Little black box in the hand.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and, now what was your point about the Texas shoot?
Okay, it's my prayer and hope that I can find other nerds that are interested in this type of legislation, looking into the constitutional amendments, looking into the great civil and criminal grand juries that they have available to them in Texas. And I wanted to touch on the points that in Article 1, Section 18, in the California Republic Constitution, it says that all schools and the students, faculty, and staff will be safe. And there's got to be some correlation in our other republic constitutions stating that that is a constitutional amendment. It's a protected activity, and it needs to be taken seriously. And I'd love people to have the grand jury reawakening, serve your people, be the government watchdog, request records, and get to the bottom of this. You know, request the records from the public officials, from the elected officials, from the appointed officials.
Sure.
And see if, see where the financial interests lie.
I think the simplest solution to the safety problem is to authorize concealed carry, including for teachers. In fact, the day of the Parkland event, the Florida legislature was contemplating broadening concealed carry to include teachers. So they actually sabotaged that by the staged event at Parkland, too. But that's a very simple solution. It should be a mutual recognition of all states to one another's concealed carry permits. When you have an armed citizenry, the crime rate goes down. We've been conducting a social experiment with gun-free zones in Chicago, and the results have been catastrophic. Do we want that Chicago model to be spread to the whole United States, where we have fewer guns but more homicides? In fact, that turns out to be true worldwide, that the areas that have the highest number of gun owners have the lowest homicide rates, and those with the highest homicide rates have the lowest number of gun owners. It's just the opposite of what the public political figures who are trying to promote gun control would have us believe. When guns are banned, crime goes up.
Amen to that. Yeah, I'd like to get a hymnal together, like a pocket hymnal for these warriors. Mm-hmm. And Keep on the Firing Line is going to be one of them, the battle hymn of the Republic, and Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And I would love to, in the midst of this war, hear the hymns being sang by these warriors and our protectors.
Very good. I like
Excellent.
That, Dr. Kelly. I just said John Watt is one of the experts in this area. He's a book available on Amazon, unlike my book on Sandy Hook, entitled The War on Guns, 2016. John Watt, I recommend. Excellent study.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly, for your call. All right, we're going to move on now. Thank you. All right, we got her in. Okay, now let's go to, I believe it's, is it Chris that's next in Las Vegas? Is that right?
It is Chris, Rick.
All right, Chris. Welcome, welcome.
Glad to hear you back, Jim. I've got a couple of observations. First and foremost, on the school shooting, you cannot avoid the parallels of the precursored practice drills that went 2 months before the shooting. The parallels to the Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing and the Sandy Hook are just really phenomenal. Let's go to the other shooting, though, the one in New Mexico at the Trump International Hotel. I cannot remember the guy's name. I apologize. I'm not at my home computer to be able to look it up. But this particular individual, he had a very curious name, and he supposedly grabbed a standard-mounted American flag from another park before he ran up to the check-in desk and put that flag on the desk, supposedly chanting anti-Trump epitaphs. This is very closely reminiscent of the CC's Pizza shooting in Las Vegas, where after the so-called shooting, somebody did a staged event of posing a body of some sort on the sidewalk and taped very carefully down a Gadsden flag to implicate and try to relate that incident to the Bundy Ranch and the Patriots involved in objecting to the BLM and the other terrorist activities out there. And Joe Lombardo, the current sheriff here in Las Vegas, was specifically FBI crisis event management productions trained in those particular tactics of stage productions and setting the stage with central casting selected stage props, just like in the Texas shooting with the Presto cooker and the pipe bomb stage props.
This is very interesting stuff. I'm glad you brought up Sheriff Lombardo. When he first came up to talk about the alleged shooting in Las Vegas, he said, obviously, this wasn't just one man, because the lobbies of several hotels, the Flamingo, the Bellagio, and New York, were all shot out, too. So it was absurd on its face to suppose only one man had done all the shooting. They reined him in, and thereafter there was an FBI guy with him to make sure he didn't get off of the script. which is completely absurd because nobody was killed in Las Vegas. It was an elaborate charade, really, truly outrageous. And Sheriff Lombardo has been turned out to be a part of it now, alas.
I'm glad you brought that up, Jim, because that FBI guy wasn't just any FBI guy. He was the FBI guy at Quantico that was the head of special operations, tactical special operations, psychological political warfare by Kenneth Goff, and pamphlet by brainwashing by Lavrenty Beria. Now, Kenneth Goff was one of Stalin's very favorite individuals because he knew a little something about psychological operations for sure, and this is exactly what most of these are big psyops operations, mind wars, psycho-political warfare, or mind fornication, public relations.
You're 100% right. You're spot on.
Well, you know, this
guy was excellent.
He was brought in specially to Las Vegas just a few months prior to this event to orchestrate that and oversee it, be the gatekeeper.
Yeah, very good, very good. Yes, agreed completely.
All right. Anything else, Chris?
Thank you so very much. That's about it for this morning, but thank you very much. Keep on the job.
Appreciate your input, as always.
Great call, Chris.
Yeah, now we have Mike on the line. Michael's from New York next. Hello, Michael. Come on up on the program.
Well, thank you, Rick. Hello, Professor Fetzer. Gentlemen, I would like to say not only Chicago proves that a gun-free zone is very unsafe for the public, also Venezuela, also Britain, also Australia, also Canada, as soon as they ban all the guns, next thing you know, crime is rampant, naturally, surprise, surprise to those commie idiots out there that think otherwise. And also now, as I forecasted years ago on that, in Britain or anywhere else, eventually knives will have to go because then once there's no guns, well, knives are going to be a common use, a tool for criminal activity and or defending yourself, of course. And so now knives are trying to be banned in Britain. That's how ridiculous it's getting.
Mike, well,
there's no logic to these premises.
They have such a range of knife attacks that they have surpassed New York City for murders using knives in London. It's outrageous. In fact, I did a video about gun control where I pointed out what's next. Potato peelers? Yes, believe it or not, they're even banning potato peelers in the UK. I mean, it's just ridiculous beyond words.
Now, where it'll go next, guys, will be hands. We'll have to chop off hands because they're using hands to defend themselves or to for criminal activity, to hold somebody up.
It is ridiculous.
Now,
well, I know that, Mike, right, you know. Mike, thank you. Anything else? Because we want to bring Art up in a little while, too. Anything else you want to add besides this?
I'm just going to say real quick on the latest school shooting.
Yes.
I understand the shotgun was, they're claiming, was used. So here we have the precedent for them now to go after shotguns, not just any automatic weapon as previous cases, but now we'll get ready for shotguns will have to be banned. That's the next incremental step they'll take.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, pre-internet times, right, there was the series of assassinations in the 1970s, you know, the Wallace and so forth. Then we had John Stennis being shot, and he was from Mississippi, and he was on the House, or the Senate, rather, Armed Services Committee. He was shot, and there was a big hue and cry from all the people in the New York Times and the Washington Post media assembly saying, well, we've got to have those Saturday night specials banned because they're the weapon of choice. And then somebody came forth and said, well, what about the Sunday morning spectacular? And that took off, too. They would say, well, you know, there very well might be a Sunday morning spectacular. So let's just ban those cheap guns and anything else that is commonly used in assassination attempts or crime. Well, thank goodness we destroyed that movement pretty quickly over a period of a few months. But, no, you know, I mean, put it this way, the point you're trying to make is that it's so absurd, and I think we can all agree it's absurd. Gun control itself is illogical because there is no such thing as controlling an object. All right? So we'll come back to that point. We'll finish up, and then we'll bring Art on. Okay, thank you for the call there, young fellow. Come right back.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
And we're back now, and we just had the last call. We're going to bring up Art in a few minutes, but Jim, I think to sum up in this segment here, just to clear up a couple of things here, that people are questioning. That is thinking people now, not the people who are not thinkers, but I'm talking about people who are in the minority, 3 or 4%, are questioning deeply how this government, deep state as it's called, whatever you want to call it, is in fact putting on a good show, a show that is designed for a specific purpose, a specific end. And the end game really is control. As I've said just before the break, it's not about gun control, because there is no such thing as gun control. There is no such thing as can control or pea control. You know, a can of peas doesn't care what it costs. But the people who buy it care. The people who market it there. The people who grow it care. Well, that's the whole point. Guns in and of themselves have never been a problem in any society. It has been the people. It has been the government. It has been the interaction, the minorities that have come in illegally and legally, and have formed gangs and helped along by the government. The MS-13 gangs, of course, we know to be quite notorious under Clinton, Fast and Furious as one example. But again, the point of the matter is, let us not lose sight of the fact that people are not logical, that society at large is not logical. They are stupid. They are dumb. People basically can be led. And they're led by emotions. They're not led by fact. They're not led by logic. or anything else. They're led by what they see, that poster child of the little boy in Syria that was peddled all around the world, turned out to be a total fraud, put up by a rock group, Pink Floyd, as a matter of fact. They actually extricated that picture. So the thing is, they react to stimuli. I think you'll agree with me on that, that the real battle here is people organizing in their local state legislatures and in their council wards across America and just saying, look, anybody who's running for office that wants to violate the Constitution, Second Amendment, which is what backs up the First, is going to have to pay a heavy price at the polls. An organization is what the other end is saying. You know, the so-called David Hogs and people of that ilk are saying, register to vote. Jimmy Kimmel just did a show, a special, on voting out those terrible NRA people because they are responsible for all the carnage, so he said. This is both sides of the aisle, two-edged sword. So that's my own comment here, Jim.
Well, Rick, any comment from you? The Democrats are using these staged events to herd the American people the way ranchers might herd cattle by firing off gunshots in order to promote Democratic candidates who are for gun control during the midterms. This is a desperate effort because there are attempts to undermine Trump based upon the Russian hacking meme, which was made up by Rodney Mook and John Podesta within 24 hours of Hillary's concession speech, as two investigative journalists reported in their book Shattered in 2017, hasn't panned out. It's falling apart. They need something to try to salvage the Democratic Party from its own scandals involving collusion between the FBI, the Department of Justice, the DNC, and the Clinton campaign. It's all completely disgusting. So you got to understand these events, these shootings are campaign stunts for the Democratic Party. Well, the March for Our Lives was a Democratic voter registration drive that received billions in free publicity because the mainstream is also very much against Trump, and they're willing to promote anyone who is seeking to undermine him. Sad to say, that's the state, the situation we're in today, Rick.
Very well. Thank you so much, Jim, for your call to the program On the Road. I think you hit some interesting points today, and we got a lot of feedback. So let us keep the momentum going, all righty?
And, Rick, anyone who wants more, I'm doing books on these things, books on Sandy Hook, on the Boston bombing, on Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville. I'm finishing editing a book on Parkland right now. You want to check out moonrockabooks.com for more. We prove all these things in detail, collaborative research. I have 12 to 15 contributors to each book, moonrockabooks.com.
Amen. All right. Well, let's keep it going and get the word and spread the gospel. Thank you, Jim Fetzer. I hope you will come back again very shortly. All righty, brother?
My great pleasure, Rick Adams. I can't thank you enough for featuring me again.
Thank you. All right. You take care now. Good care. All right, folks, Jim Fetzer, moonrockbooks.com. And, by the way, I've got to make a couple of announcements here. One of them, of course, is that there is interaction. As you know, I'm not doing Facebook publicly. I believe it's an abomination, just like Twitter has become. And so I avoid all of it. Instagram, no matter what it is, I am not a partaker of their deeds. You can go on, however, the deadly experiment dot Chatango.com. That's chatango.com. And there are a number of comments up on that site. Deadlyexperiment.chatango.com. Also, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock reminds you that he's had some great guests coming up again, as he did last week. I heard Frank last Saturday when we were on. Frank from North Carolina. I heard Joe Church and other guests. So listen to him, AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com. And we have that video up that I put up on, on YouTube, which, of course, deals with Syria. Now, let me welcome him in before the break. Art from Philly. Hello, Art.
Hello, Rick, and good to be back. A great show. I did some background information. I did some background research that might tie into this and for what we've been talking about. And one of the things, for instance, geographically, look at the Santa Fe School District. It's only 7 miles away from Galveston, Texas, and 30 miles away from downtown Houston, okay, in between those two points. All right. Now, do you ever hear about the Galveston movement? What happened is there was a massive immigration in Galveston in between 1907 and 1914 of Jewish immigrants from Mother Russia, sponsored by Jacob Schiff, one of the creatures of Jekyll Island, all right? And the people were greeted there at Galveston by Rabbi Henry Cohen. This goes back to the turn of the century. And they were escaping anti-Semitic programs in Tsarist Russia, all right?
Yeah.
Now, also remember, there was it was actually on RBN going back a while back, that there was a movement by one of the congressmen in Texas to basically make the Port of Galveston the second state of Israel, okay? All right, now realize the Santa Fe School District's only 7 miles away from it. All right, then they had a lawsuit, okay? Let's see, I'm looking it up here. It's called Santa Fe Independent School District versus Doe, okay? In this litigation that went all the way up to the Supreme Court, it was held that student-led, student-initiated prayer at football games violates the Establishment Clause of the United States Constitution. So they weren't even allowed to say prayers there. Got some more. We'll finish
there you go. Hang on to that. All right. They weren't allowed to say prayer. Well, who else is behind the prayer banning movement and the bullet banning and the gun banning movement? All right. Take a break, and we'll come right back to those points with Art from Philly. Stay with us. Rick Adams.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
All right, folks. We are back. Art was just making some very interesting points about the Santa Fe area and that southeastern of Houston area and the immigration of these Russian Jews that came here into America and the influence they've had. Very, apparently very negative influence in many ways, as you just pointed out, Art. Now, please continue and tell us about the local leadership and the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Go right ahead, sir.
I will. One little point is Rabbi Henry Cohen was of B'nai B'rith, of B'nai of Israel. Okay, and in addition to Jacob Schiff, the creature of Jekyll Island, helping the people go to Galveston, about a third more went to Palestine. So there's direct connections all the way back to 1907, 1914, between the Rothschilds and the Israelis. Okay, so that existed for over 100 years. Now, the part we're talking about, it's more interesting. In August of 2000, there was an article, it was in the L.A. Times, about No Place for Hate by the Anti-Defamation League B'nai B'rith. This is what it said. The billboards are as yellow as lemon pie at the Busy Bee Cafe. Along the border spell out the signatures, names of mayors, chief police slogans. Santa Fe is no place for hate. when leaders, local leaders, joined the Anti-Defamation Leagues earlier this month to unveil the massive signs of questions begged were clear. A lot of people were concerned. The signs communicated this is a place for hate, said school superintendent. I had those concerns, too. I think we're being painted with a broad brush. Flanking the highway in Santa Fe, the billboards form a hall of mirrors for this town of 10,000 people just outside of Galveston, sponsored by the Anti-Defamation League. Right? I could go on
very
to that.
Nice.
And they said, right, right. So why is it this town was picked for this loss of life? Okay?
This event.
What is the history on this kid? Does he have any ties to the Mossad or the Anti-Defamation League? Does he have ties to the Israeli Defense Force?
I find that rather hard to believe, that they would peddle any kind of influence like that, wouldn't you?
It's just, what a coincidence, you know what I'm saying? That it happens there. Okay, of all the places in the country, it happens there. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, exactly. Either in very big cities, very big communities, we have a very heavy Israeli presence, or, you know, this presence of the synagogue there, or in rural communities where you don't have anybody there where they can perpetrate it. Newtown, Connecticut was a good example of that. You say Boston was a good example of what I just said. Concentration of power. You had all of the hospitals. Bethel Hospital was the receiving hospital for the so-called injured in Boston. Then you had, Spalding Institute for rehab. All of them heavily under their control and heavily under their influence. So obviously there's a trail here. And I think you're really hitting on something right now in Santa Fe. Yeah, that's very, very big stuff here.
Right, right. So, you know, with that, I would say you need to look at the family background around this guy. Because this may not be as they try to portray it, the lone gunman, not with all this other activity going on around them. Right there in Galveston.
And he may not be Greek Orthodox either, as well. Russian
Greek
Orthodox.
Yeah, well, he might be Russian. He might very well be Russian, and he might have converted to Greek Orthodox. But
Very true. Very true. It's all possible. You know, they know and God knows. We don't know. And quite frankly, we don't even have to know all the details. I think it would frighten us to death. If we really knew what God knew, we wouldn't be able to contain it, you know, in a flesh body. But, all right, that's one point you wanted to make. Now, did you want to continue along those lines in tracking that, or is that all you had to say about this specific geographic area?
That's all I had to say about that. I mean, that's...
All right, now, you also know that I had sent you an article pertaining to this Cosa Nostra, as you call him, one of the top bananas, a billionaire. And this is the article right from the Times of Israel. Jewish billionaire David Tepper buys NFL's Carolina Panthers. And you did a little bit more reading, and you found out that he's been also heavily involved in what you call RICO violations, RICO statute violations.
What I was saying, this is a perfect case of where we need to have RICO investigating these guys. All right, what does he do? Because in the article... just read a real quick part of it. Mr. Tepper, let me just go back here. Okay. Tepper's a hedge fund manager. He made his money in junk bonds in the 80s and 90s. That means he made it with the mortgage meltdown, all right?
Yeah.
That's where he made
Michael
a lot of his
Milliken,
money.
Milliken, as you say, yes.
Because Michael Milliken, who worked for Drexel Burnham and Lambert, which was directly owned by the Rothschild Financial Interest, based out of Philadelphia, went out of business.
Right.
All right. Tepper purchased the Panthers of the NFL Panthers of North Carolina for $2.3 billion. Okay. Then they talk about, you know, Tepper's 60 years old, lives down in Florida. He runs a hedge fund, which is, what's it called? It's called Appaloosa Management.
Mm-hmm.
And they're located, he's at 404 Washington Avenue in Miami. And they have a website, amlp.com. All right, now, Mr. Tepper, 60, has given to Jewish causes, all right? He graduated from Carnegie Mellon, okay? Let's see some more of the background here. He has a net worth of $11 billion. He donated $125 million to Carnegie Mellon. They renamed part of the university after him. He donated money to Szabad, okay? Szabad Lugovicer, okay?
Yeah, the Lugovicer.
Lugovicer, right. And the United Jewish Communities of Metro West of New Jersey, right? Mm-hmm. So he was living in New Jersey for and working in New York for over 20 years, and then because he wanted to avoid paying too much taxes in New Jersey, moved down to Florida. But the connection there is he's supporting Adelson's Lugovicer, okay? That shows this guy has some direct connections to, you know, if he's putting his money there, then at the very least, he's sympathetic to an organization that is directly tied to the Chicago Syndicate, the Cosa Nostra, all right? Now, either he's very naive, but somehow I have trouble believing a guy who's worth $11 billion. It's that naive to know who and what he's dealing with. Or he's part of it, okay?
Sure.
So the point I wanted to say with this is this is a perfect case. If you remember back in the Capone era, they said everything was going legitimate, okay, into legitimate industry. To me, what this guy has done, like many other people have done, including Adelson, is a classic example of what we should be doing with the RICO laws, okay? These guys need to be broken up and put in jail and have their assets taken away, okay? That's how we really have to deal with them, okay? Otherwise, we're going to be dealing with the consequences, like Patrick Henry would say, give us liberty or give us death. But, you know, one way or the other, these people have to be dealt with before they destroy this country.
Well, I think Mr. Sessions would love to be able to begin that. I'm sure that he'd have the approval of the swamp cleaner, Mr. Trump, and we can begin the process immediately. What do you think?
I think let the people lead and the leaders will follow. And what you said towards the end of talking in the last session there was, you know, where we said we basically have to focus in our local communities, our local government, and bring back ethics and integrity and work its way to the top is the way it's got to be done. Because that's what they did. They started from the bottom. They corrupted everything, and they worked their way to the top. And eventually got to the top, and they destroyed the ethics of our, you know, of our government. And we had to bring it back in the same way they did, took it out.
Well, you got to shine the light here, the light of truth. And, you know, they hate, put it this way, I mean, who is it that they hate most of all? Let's be honest now. They hate Christ.
They hate someone
most. They hate Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. So what you need to do, and we need to do, is proclaim his word in their faces wherever they go and wherever they are. Is just simply proclaim what he says about them, and that's what I do on my TV program. Particularly, I always refer to the words of Christ, and if they don't like it, well, they can take it up with him. After all, they crucified him, they demanded his death, and let them take vengeance upon him. Or is it the other way around? So, I mean, I think if we put our priorities in order and we speak the truth and then we prioritize down the line all the economic issues and gun issues, all of that will follow. But if we put him first and in their face, then they haven't got a leg to stand on. That's the way I see it. Go ahead.
Right. I agree with you. But also, you know, we hear in this country, and there's many things we could do.
Yes.
For instance, say you find out you're working for this hedge fund, Appaloosa Management, and right. You find out that he is tied in with the Cosa Nostra, okay? At least sympathetic with him to his ties with Szabad. Perhaps then you might consider leaving the company, okay, and give your reasons. Then perhaps you might want to find out, you know, keep all your friends there and let them know you got opportunities for them, take them all away, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And hollow out his company. That's how you go about doing it.
Sure.
And you could do that, we could do that every day. Just become a little smarter as we're talking here. Find out, are you working for a company that's owned by the syndicate? Why are you still working there? If you have integrity, then you should be starting to look for another job and get yourself out of that situation, one way or the other. Okay? Mm-hmm. You should not be using the resources of good, hardworking people to work for, you know, syndicate-owned businesses. You should basically find a way to get out of it as quick as possible. All right? What does that do? That weakens their ability to pay off the politicians. And the new companies to work with, it strengthens their position to provide a different political agenda. So that's one of the ways I see it. And perhaps even more people might consider starting their own businesses or running their own businesses. Mm-hmm. This is a way to go about doing it. That's one of the things I see. With respect to... Yeah. Now, with respect to what they're doing, you know, you can see this guy's taking over, you know, he gets wealthy, he's influencing his agenda on the Carnegie Mellon School of Business, just like we talked about in the past, the purple gangster Max Fisher,
yeah,
who influenced, you know, Ohio State University.
Oh,
yeah. And I actually found out I had a correction to make with respect to who was the guy who got Arlen Specter on the Warren Commission. It was Max Fisher, but it was also the influence of Herbie Barnes, Walter Annenberg,
right,
and Richard Zwicker. Okay,
I saw that. I saw that correction. Yeah.
Right. So, and also you can see, for instance, you know, Wallace Annenberg, you know, she's running her own charter school there in Los Angeles. Okay. She's got another guy there who runs a home building business, Standard Pacific, I believe it is. And he's also pushing for charter schools. We want 80% of all the public schools in L.A. to become charter schools. That's nice. Okay.
Well, what's interesting, now you say that, but someone in my family just said, because he's a representative of the NEA in the state, that what's going on now is an attempt by a Supreme Court case to basically pave the way for decertification of all unionization of the public school teachers in a, I guess, a cumulative movement to try to decertify and break the backs of the public sector unions, which they created, by the way, in the first place, post-war. So they created a big layer of bureaucracy, municipal government unions and so forth, as they were taking down private unions and shipping industry overseas. Now, what's the be-all, end-all of this if, indeed, this should come to pass? And I can see the handwriting on the wall. All the politicians who served the beast, you know, served the Cosa Nostra, are now singing the tunes. We can't afford pensions anymore. We can't afford the schools anymore. We need $1 billion to actually rebuild all of the infrastructure of the schools in my state, and we haven't got the money. So what do? We've got to take the money from the teachers. We come up with new hybrid plans. The cost of living has to go. So what happens if, in fact, this should become a reality? Who do you see maybe picking up the pieces? Do you see the charter school movement taking up the slack? You see them moving in to take over?
Yes, I do. And who owns those charter schools? But look, what you're saying is exactly true, because they did it with the high-tech industry. They said, we can't afford American labor, so we've got to use H-1B immigration labor.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Right. And
meanwhile, they burden all of the other smaller industries in America with excessive taxation and regulation, so that they could not produce the kind of industrial output that they wanted to. These characters, you know, are real scavengers, is what they are, scavengers.
Right. And let's hope the school teachers wake up to what's really going on there. You know, I'm not in favor, you know, personally, I think if we got to pay for schools, it should not just be on a property tax owner. It should be shared with the taxpayers of that community. And it should be shared with people who have their kids in school paying tuition. You shouldn't have people like, who've retired losing their homes because they can't afford to pay the property tax. Okay? It needs to be shared with the rest of the community, not just put on the property tax owners, whether they like to hear that or not.
Well, now, what I'm finding, yes, it's true, very true. I'm finding that more and more children now are getting out of the public schools, especially due to all the hysteria over mass shootings and what's going on in schools across America. And it happens at every school where kids are bullied, kids are beaten, lunch money, all of that. So they're taking their kids out. Parents are taking their kids out, and they're homeschooling them. And that's a wonderful thing. Homeschooling is a burgeoning movement right now. It is growing by leaps and bounds, you see. And that's wonderful. But unfortunately, the parents who take them out are still compelled to pay the property taxes to go to support the public school monopoly. And that is totally evil and totally illegal, according to the Constitution, the property tax itself. So this is why America had gone socialist going back over quarter of a century ago, you know? The all and all.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually started in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, right after the Civil War. There was a guy out there, I have to look it up, who was pushing this, and up to that point, America was, you were responsible for your own kids' tuition and take care of it. And they did have, you know, funds to help people who were in distress to help their kids get educated. But the responsibility was on the parents, not on you know, a third-party taxpayer who basically financially jeopardized their economic integrity because of your irresponsibility in not taking care of your own family.
Sure.
Now,
that's
go
true.
Back with what
now, I'd like to, if you're done with the these issues, I'd like to move along to the Jerusalem Watch movement. But you go ahead. If you have something else you want to add for our audience, go right ahead.
This is real simple for the teachers. The game plan is you're too expensive. We're going to replace you with H-1B visa immigration labor at a third of the price, and we're going to use the differential there to pay off the politicians and keep the profit ourselves. And you can see that happen already in Maryland around the Washington, D.C. area, where they've already done it. So that's what's coming for the teachers.
All right, let's go. Wonderful stuff. By the way, folks, anybody out there wants to chime in, you can call in now. Again, with Art, my guest, at 800-313-9443. Operators are standing by. Now, let's go to what's going on in Jerusalem, the city of end time prophecy. Well, we've got, apparently, and I know you're going to laugh at this, and you're going to say it sounds like Alex Jones, but here it comes. One of the top Israeli propagandists, the government there, has suggested that Muslims add money, big money, is causing CNN, the BBC, France 24, CBS, ABC, ABC, NBC, and all of the rest to turn against Israel. Does that sound like Alex Jones to you? Muslim money is doing it, folks.
Muslim money.
It is hilarious.
Well, the oil states do have a lot of money, and they don't like Israel in general.
It's
possible.
Well, they're being bribed with our money now, and they're being, as Netanyahu said when he visited Trump at the beginning of the year, last year. What did he say? He says, we, for the first time, have Arabs not fighting against Israel, but with Israel, against the radical ISIS guerrillas and those other nasty Arab and Persian regimes. So that's their bailiwick. You know, who's kidding whom here? Right? It's divide and rule. And divide and destroy. Now we have the UN saying it would like to move in and investigate war crimes by the Israeli government against the Gazans. And the Israeli government says, you're not coming in. We're not going to allow it. We do as we do, and we do as we want. So, you know what? Go to hell. I mean, they're saying to the people, we own the world, as Rosenthal said, Harold Rosenthal, that we control it all. And essentially, that's where it ends. Now, you know, it's funny because going back to World War II, the Red Cross was allowed to go into every single camp. And you know, the Germans in their camps, no matter where they were in Eastern Europe, okay, opened the camps to the Red Cross. And you know what? They didn't find a Holocaust. They didn't find millions of people rounded up and sent to all of these camps, these so-called gas chambers that weren't even built until after 1946. And the Red Cross was smeared and tarred and feathered and brandished as terrible anti-Semites after that because they couldn't find any of this. Now, here in what they call Israel today, they will not allow the Red Cross to operate freely or to come in and to rescue people who are under attack, who are being shot to death, and so forth. They restrict their access. They restrict the UN. They say that all international laws are not written for them but by them. So, you know, again, we have that evil fig tree that Jesus spoke of, you see, planted in Jerusalem.
Yes, it's interesting. When you realize that it was Harry Truman that helped establish the United Nations on behalf of Israeli influence when he agreed to set up the State of Israel at the same time. Right.
And he did so to win in that election year to win the New York vote, that is the electoral votes from the New York delegation. That put him over and made him president, was recognizing the State of Israel, the evil fig tree. So we know who was buttering his bread, that's for sure. Here's another one. Hitler definitely died in 1945, according to a new study of his teeth and his skull. And this came from the Russian Secret Service. So, again, that's suspect because, as you know, many people have said that Hitler was ushered out of the country. He was given safe haven in Argentina or wherever, but he never died there. There was no bunker bombing that killed him or anybody else, that he was an agent of the Rothschilds as well. I would believe that before I believed that Hitler was honest and he was definitely working against the interest of world Jewry. That I find very hard to believe. Here's another one. Netanyahu is, shall we say, dangerously aligning Israel with conservative Republicans, according to some in the staff of the Times of Israel. They find him to be dangerous, not because he's a killer and he's a butcher and he's a liar, but because he is becoming more aligned with the Republican Party here in the United States. Now, I find the opposite to be true. The fact that the Republicans have outdone the Democrats in being who can be more skunkish for Israel to be an indictment of the Republican Party in this country, wouldn't you say so?
Right, especially when you consider Adelson is the real controller here. Basically, Netanyahu is a puppet of Adelson and the AI PAC. So, and look at, that's basically saying the casino interests out in Vegas really control this country right now. So, so it's no surprise. And they run the Republican-Jewish Coalition, again, established by Max Fisher, that gangster out of the Purple Gang.
Oh, exactly. No question about that. All right. Do we have any calls? I think we do have a call, don't we have a call? Yes, we do. I'm sorry to take time away from you, but let's see if we can bring up, oh my goodness, we've got a few. I don't think we're going to take them all, but I'll bring up Frank first. Hello, Frank in North Carolina. How are you? Not much time, boys.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick and Art. Listen, you know more about him already than I do, Art, but this new NFL Carolina Panthers owner, I smelled a rat the first time I ever saw that guy. Apparently, he has a real taste for vengeance, too. They're saying that's part of his personality. I saw a picture flashed up on the TV screen a couple nights ago, though, and looked like he has twin daughters on either side of him, and they look like your stereotypical Jewish women. They don't look anything like him, so you might want to check into his wife. I'll bet you he's married to a Jewish woman. Also,
he is Jewish.
The financial and political commentator and trends forecaster, Gerald Celente, who we all know, I heard him the other day, several days ago, on the Ted and Austin Brewer show, and he's raised his own bar. He's pushed the envelope. He actually came out and said that the Jewish mafia controls America, okay? The Jewish mafia. I wanted to put that out there. And I don't know
Thank
if I mentioned this
that.
Before,
yeah.
but yeah, Peter North, or Oliver North, Colonel Oliver North, I think has been made the new spokesman for the NRA. Well, there's an article in the Forward basically praising him for having been a Jewish spy for Israel in Washington, D.C., to spy on the movers and shakers in Washington, D.C., and report to Israel anybody that was out of line, anybody that wasn't completely loyal to Israel. So obviously they target the NRA. They're infiltrate it and take it down from the inside. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for those words. Very true. We don't have time. I'm sorry. I apologize to those on the line. We just ran out of time, and we were trying to cover some bases here with Jerusalem Watch. But anyway, we'll do it again, God willing. Lord willing, next week you continue to pray and support RVN and ART, NoPlaceForCorruption.com. Thank you for bringing to light some great stories again this week. Thank you.
You got it.
All righty. Talk to you later. Folks, that's it. I'm sorry we're all out of time. We have to leave the air, but as I said, we'll do it again next time. Save your calls and your thoughts, okay? Rick Adams, uncensored, going to bed right now, literally and physically and theoretically. And may Yahweh bless his elect.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.